Oh, I am so glad that you're here. I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad we're here together here. It's Thursday here on Mark and Friends, the Ministry of Great News Media. Yeah, this 19th day of August. I know many kids are, well, they've gone back to school, some last week, some this week, some today, some next week. Regardless, just a little reminder to pray for our kids, our students, our teachers, our support staff, and bus drivers and all of that. It's going to be a busy next few days, that is for sure. Friend, I hope you're having a great week. I am Joey Kroll, and every week I have the great privilege of sitting behind this microphone every Thursday and be the guest host for Mark and Friends. And some exciting things taking place here at the radio ministry. We're getting ready for an open house. If you're part of the WLUJ family, it's going to be a special open house on Saturday, September the 11th from 1 to 4. Saturday, September the 11th from 1 to 4 at the Springfield studio. Or if you're part of the Great News Radio family, the open house will be at the Great News Radio Center at 112 Lincoln Square in Urbana on Saturday, September 18th from 1 to 4. There's going to be some refreshments, giveaways, and snacks and all that fun stuff as well. So if you're part of the WLUJ family, open house is on Saturday, September the 11th. If you're part of the Great News Radio family, it's going to be at the Radio Center on Saturday, September the 18th. Well, we're a little over halfway through the month of August. Be sure to get the Prime Live Times this month at well over 350 locations within our listening area and beyond. PrimeLiveTimes.com for more details. And I'll tell you what, as we, just a quick reminder here, as we watch some of the headlines that we've been seeing in these last several days, it's just a reminder, dear friend, that, that we need to be praying for our nation, praying for our world, and being ready, dear friend, to share the hope of Jesus, being ready to share our faith, being ready to point someone to Christ. So every time, anytime you see just a harsh news story, let that be a reminder of the need of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Hey, coming up here in just a few moments, we are going to take a look at Psalm 23, and we're going to be talking about how God is good. God is good. I'll tell you what, the devil today, dear Fred, he wants people to think that God is mean, God is cruel, God is just waiting for anybody to fall down so he can quickly condemn them. And so today we're going to take a look at what the Word of God says. We're going to be talking about how God is good. From Psalm 23 today, right after this here for Mark and Friends.
Love to hear the wind sing as it whistles through the pines on mountain peaks. And he loves to hear the raindrops as they splash to the ground in a magic melody. Smiles and sweet approval as the waves crash through the rocks in harmony. And creation joins in unity to sing to him majestic symphonies. But his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed, when lost sinners now made clean lift their voices loud and strong. As they sing, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Heaven's choirs in harmony lift up praises to the great I Am.
Hallelujah.
But he lifts his hand for silence when the weak is saved by grace begins to see.
angels listen as a newborn soul sings, I've been redeemed. Call this favorite song of all. Sinners now made clean. Lift their voices loud and strong. Let those purchased by His blood lift to Him a song of love. Nothing more He'd rather hear, or so pleasing to His ear, as His favorite song of all. Just clever lines and phrases causes Him to stop and listen. But when anyone's set free, washed and bought by Calvary, begins to sing. That's His favorite song of all. It's the song of the redeemed. When lost sinners now made is loud and strong. When those purchased by His blood lift to Him a song of love. Nothing more He'd rather hear, no so pleasing to His ear, as His favorite song of all. Holy, holy, holy
lifting up the name of Jesus. You're listening to Mark and Friends here on our Thursday morning together.
I'll tell you what, Satan likes to distort things. Amen. Satan likes to take what is good and make it dirty. Satan likes to distort. And he loves to paint a bad picture of God. Where was God when this happened? Or where was God when that happened? You know, people today think of God as some kind of cosmic killjoy. Every time He sees anybody having a good time, He moves in and He breaks up the party. And today I'd like for us to talk about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Psalm 23, we'll start from the top. It's only six verses. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." Listen to this. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Talking about the goodness of God today. First of all, we see a table. We see three things. First of all, we see a table. Table. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me." Now, David, who's writing the song, the psalm, he goes from talking about a valley, and the image shifts to that of a banquet, a victory celebration. David is seeing now that he is now an honored guest at a table that the Lord prepared for him. And who's the host? God. God is the host. It says, "You prepare a table before me." This table speaks of provision, food, and honor. And friend, where is this table? It is in the presence of my enemies. The presence of the psalmist's enemies is no threat to him. He is under Yahweh, God's protection and care. He's saying, God will take care of me, even in the midst of the attacks of my enemies, even though my name is dragged through the mud, even when I am being attacked, God will take care of me. This whole verse speaks of God as a host. In fact, the host's care and concern doesn't eliminate the presence of the enemies. It only enables the experience of God's goodness and bounty, even in their midst. I was reading some time ago about a missionary, John Gibson Patton, who worked among just some vicious people, cannibals, in fact, on an island in the South Pacific back in the 1800s. And the island was just full of cannibals who had no regard for life. They worshipped evil spirits and so forth. And a year after he and his wife moved to the island, his wife gave birth to a son. And a month later, Mary Patton, John's wife, died suddenly of pneumonia, and was later followed by their newborn son, who also passed away just a few days later. And so there he is, lost his family. And on this island, he was attacked countless times. He was constantly on guard while ministering to these natives. They were violent. They could attack him at any time. And there had been numerous attempts on his life. And he wrote in his diary, listen to this. Let me read this to you. This is fantastic. After one attack, he says, during the crisis, I felt calm and firm of soul, standing erect and my whole weight on the promise that Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. And he went on to say, I assured them that I was not afraid to die, for at death my Savior would take me to be with himself in heaven and to be far happier than I had ever been on earth. In Jesus I felt invulnerable as long as I was doing his work. I then lifted up my hands and eyes to the heavens and prayed aloud for Jesus, either to protect me or take me home to glory as he saw to be for the best. Friend, wouldn't you say, wouldn't you agree that this man was dining and fellowshipping with God in the midst of his enemies, in the midst of his trials? David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is good, dear friend. So we see a table. We also see oil. Verse 5 says, you anoint my head with oil. In the Middle Eastern home, mostly in a very wealthy home, they would have a bowl of oil right by the door. Very expensive ointment and perfume, and it would be there for special occasions. So when a very important guest would come into your home, maybe a family who had gone a long time, or someone you dearly loved, or someone you wanted to see, the guest would be greeted with a kiss on either cheek, and then the host would reach into the bowl of ointment by the door there, and he would put the ointment on the face, maybe on the person's head or hair of the guest, and it would be perfumed. That person would be refreshed, and they would call it the anointing of the head. And for the rest of the feast, this person would smell that sweet perfume and that ointment that was on their head. Remember when, I think it was Mary, took that alabaster box, that alabaster jar of ointment, and anointed Jesus. He says, for she has done a beautiful thing to me. Friend, despite the dangers about the presence of enemies, David enjoyed the richness of his host's goodness. So we see a table. We see oil. Friend, we also see a cup. We see a cup. Verse 5 says, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. Not only was there a prepared table and the anointing of the head, but there was something else that was wonderful. There was an overflowing cup. Hospitality, dear friend, is everything in this culture. I don't know if you know that or not, but hospitality is everything in this culture. And suppose that you have somebody in your home and it was the unspoken rule when you invited somebody over to be a guest, you fed them. That was the unspoken rule. That was something in this culture, you fed them. And suppose you have your guest and it's time for them to go home. So you would take your pitcher of water or whatever it is that you have, and you would fill their cup halfway. That was a sign that, Okay, it's time for the evening to come to an end, and time for us to depart and so forth. And so that's what the host would do in that culture, where when it was time to go, the host would fill the cup of the guest halfway. He didn't have to say a word. It was the way of saying, it's time to end our evening. But if the host came with the pitcher and began to pour into that cup to the brim, I mean, and it just let it overflow and run over, it was saying, you're special. I love it. You're invited to stay the night with me and my family. Stay longer. David, the psalmist here in Psalm 23, is saying, he, Jehovah God, has prepared a table before me. I am special. Jehovah God has anointed my head. He loves me. My cup is running over. He's showing hospitality to me. God is good to me. And maybe that's why he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Friend, we serve a good Good God. You know what? He shows us his love. Did you know that? Romans 5:8, but God shows us his love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's nobody on earth. There's nobody else who you will ever meet. There is no one who will love you like your heavenly Father. No one. He shows us his love. He is faithful towards us, dear friend. Psalm 119:90 says, your faithfulness endures to all generations. Friend, God is faithful to every single promise in his word. Friend, God is faithful. He not only shows us his love, he not only is faithful towards us, friend, he shows us his grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. I shared this little illustration this past Sunday on Sunday worship. An atheist said, if there is a God, may he prove himself by striking me dead right now. And nothing happened. And he said to his Christian friend, you see, there is not a God. And his Christian friend said, no, you've only proved that he is a gracious God. Friend, where would we be if it wasn't for the grace of God? He shows us his grace. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. And friend, he also shows us his mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son who had committed a certain offense twice and justice demanded death. And the mother explained, I don't ask for justice, I plead mercy. And Napoleon replied, but your son does not deserve mercy. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for. And the emperor said, well, then I will have mercy, and spared the woman's son. Friend, because of our sin, we don't deserve anything. The Bible does say, for the wages of sin is death. God shows us his mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Friend, we have a God who is so good to us. We serve a God that is so, so good to us. He showers us with his blessings, and we have a God who pours out his kindness.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah.